Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Dynamic type player, can score goals.
Savoy scores! Matthew Savoy!
Makes plays at top speed. You know, really, really smart player and really high compete.
Welcome, buddy.
Thank you.
Proud
Very
to have
excited.
You. Welcome to Sabres.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Felt that if we were going to get him at that spot, we were getting a really good player, so feel very lucky.
Got a few games in with Krebsy when I was 15, roomed on the road together with him a couple times, so pretty familiar with him, and really ecstatic to reconnect with him and go down there and see him for sure.
Matt Savoy, Kevin Adams, just a couple of the voices you will hear in Sabres Embedded, Building the Pipeline, which premieres tomorrow night at 7 on the Sabres YouTube channel. It's, again, a time to be looking at the youth moving forward. We were just talking about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and his deal that remains to be signed. We'll see how long do you think we're sitting here? Kevin Adams has done some deals, days before training camp, obviously, in his past. When would you expect Luukkonen to get all wrapped up?
I would think in the next couple of weeks, I would figure like you want that wrapped up by the end of August so you can come in to Buffalo. This is not a situation where UPL is thinking of holding out. It shouldn't ever be. And if the agent is suggesting that, you need to hold out for a contract, you're in the wrong business. This is not the leverage that UPL has earned over the last few years. So we are getting some really good response on Twitter right now. We are getting anything from somebody wanting, Mac wants 2 years, $3 million total, 1.5 per year. They really think highly of UPL to give him 1.5 per year, especially since I don't think he'll be in Buffalo at the start of the season if Craig Anderson and Eric Comrie are healthy. Mm-hmm. DJ Saleta says 2 times $1 million, first year's a two-way, second year's in a one-way. Stay healthy, prove something. I like that. I like that you would give UPL a little carrot, dangling it in front of his face. And next year, you're a one-way deal. This year, we'll give you a two-way deal, and you will get an opportunity, maybe some guaranteed money. I like that. Mm-hmm. I get that, here, Buffalo's GOAT is totally disagreeing with me, saying that if you can get 3 years at $3 million total, one per, for UPL, you'd completely do that. He thinks he's going to be a star and at worst would be the backup. So, hey, I like everybody's opinion. I just wouldn't see that out of UPL right now to commit to a three-year deal.
Well, do you want to play trivia?
Well, if
or
I
Or test your knowledge?
If I lose, I don't want to play it. But if you think I could win, I want to play it.
I mean, how many goalies 24 and under last year played more than 10 games?
It's very hard. There's not a lot of them. And the reason why I'm going to say this is because most of the players that have played the same amount of games as UPL in the NHL over the last two seasons mm-hmm. are all older. The veterans backups that are AHL level guys, like 27, 28, 29 years old. So mm-hmm. I would think there's probably less than 5.
In the NHL?
Yes.
That played under, 24 and under, that played substantial games in the NHL last year. Carter Hart.
Yes.
Jeremy Swayman. Spencer Knight. Mackenzie Blackwood. Nico Dawes. Dan Vladar. Philip Gustafson. Eric Schalgren. Stuart Skinner. There's only 9 of them that played 10 games or more last year, which further adds to the legacy of hockey cliches. It takes a little longer for goalies, right?
Well, are you saying that it is a proven cliche or a non-proven cliche?
Haven't you heard that forever? When you were forced down to the AHL and you were like, I'm ready. And they said, no, you're not. And you had to prove it yet again.
And I still
Whether
say
it's
that
the goaltender themselves or team philosophy, we have heard forever that it takes goaltenders longer to develop.
There's 64 goalies in the NHL.
119 last year.
Well, I'm just saying, yes. So, but usually 32 teams, 2 goalies per team, 64. Now we know that's not the number that you end at. So out of 119 last year, 9 goalies 24 and under played 10 or more games. Like, that is a very small number of goalies. That's why you can't find comparables to UPL. You got to go back to the AHL and say, oh, how does he compare in the AHL? And a lot of the goalies that had really, really good AHL seasons, you're talking of Alex Lyon. He's older. Charlie Lindgren's older. You know, Stuart Skinner, okay, a little younger, but he's going to be in Edmonton next year, in my opinion. He'll play with Jack Campbell and already had his contract done up. So most of those goalies are older that are having success in the AHL.
It is. I think it's a fascinating list. You know, the writing remains on the wall for, my goodness, Marty. I mean, even number four on that list of games played at that age, who, by the way, is now, he's actually 25. I don't know why this filtered it. Maybe I had the filter
at the start of last season.
Well,
maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, he's 25 right now. He'll turn 26 in December. But yeah, Mackenzie Blackwood, like the jury is very much out on him, which is why they ended up going down the path of Vanecek now to pressure, to create competition. And I mean, even poor Spencer Knight, like, you know, he's still behind the massive term and length and contract of Bobrovsky.
Yes.
And Swayman, for having identical numbers to Ullmark, is still trying to earn the Ullmark type contract. And again, what is Carter Hart at this moment? You know, like this is a really amazing list. Like, we may not see from this point on any of these guys end up being bona fide number ones in the NHL. I think Swayman has the best potential.
Yes, yeah, Swayman is the better of the group right there for sure.
And probably Spencer Knight right there tied with him, assuming opportunity eventually comes his way. But wow, it is something.
There'd have to be an expansion soon for Spencer Knight to hopefully get his wish and get an opportunity. Because
Quebec City, baby, let's do it.
Unfortunately for him, Seattle came in and he did not need to be on that protected list. He was an entry level deal that was done. But look, again, it just to show that for me, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen doesn't have a lot of leverage here. Cannot say, hey, I played a lot of NHL games, even though it would have been with injuries or whatnot. You didn't play a lot of NHL games. And in the AHL, you had some good times and then you had some not so good times. You've had to deal with injuries. There's a lot there. I don't see Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen pegged in for 35 NHL games this year. Listen, if you thought that Luukkonen was going to go in and play 30 to 35 games this year, okay, I can see the Sabres saying, let's give Luukkonen a two-year deal, one way both seasons. We're going to pay him anyway. He's going to be here. We want to build with him. There is still that wait and see period right now. And the contract has to reflect that. You can't just all of a sudden open it up. You have to be able to look and put it on the player. I know that we talked about Barzal earlier, last year of his contract. There, you know, he wants to perform. I feel that with Luukkonen, you have to also keep him in that same mold and saying, here's your go and earn it now. Here's your two-way deal in the first year and go and earn your NHL time and perform to that level. My quick story, Duffer. I come out of my entry-level deal with the Buffalo Sabres, and then I held out for a month. I missed a training camp. I missed October. I signed the deal, and then I had some performance bonuses. And that was the maybe excitement of saying, the more I play, the better I perform, the money will be there. My second year of that deal was where, like, it started to kick in. I played 72 games, but my old mentality was keep playing me. I was getting checks because I was playing and playing good and winning and whatnot. Like, they can't do that with players now. They can't say, here's a performance bonus type deal with a guy like Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but they can say, your second year will be a one way. Earn it. Or they can even say, here's a one-year deal, and if you perform to a level, we'll talk to you next summer and then you'll have earned it. There's something you can do to dangle that carrot in front of his face a little bit.
It's true. And it's always kind of been a very common and thought of approach, but we're also in this era of today's athlete.
Yes.
Where we talk so much more about the mental side of the game and understanding, encouraging, helping to progress. I can't help. Like I'm literally stuck on this, especially after what you just said, because I think historically I've been a believer. Yeah. 1 year in front of a player is good. Most often you see a player really rise to the occasion and, mm-hmm. and want to earn the next thing. But if you know the person well enough, and I'm not saying that this is the case of Lukanen, and he just happens to be our example that we're talking about right now. Yep. If you know intimately the makeup of the person, and that by easing said person, athlete, of a distraction, such as a contract, which could be negative, and convincing a player, we believe you, we believe in you, we love you, and we love the path you're on. You've got at least 3 more years with us right now. And if you prove that we underpaid you in the next 3 years, we will look forward greatly to rewarding you handsomely. Like, where's the balance? Don't you find that balancing act fascinating right now?
I keep asking myself this when it comes to contract negotiation and people saying, oh, there's a lot of pressure on players to perform if they get a 1-year deal and all that. And I keep asking maybe the ultimate this or that. Where is there more pressure on a player when they're competing for a Stanley Cup championship, like playoffs, game 7, overtime, or in the last year of a deal where they have their whole future ahead of them that they have to perform? Because at that moment, if they don't, they may end up in a career in Europe, not playing in the NHL. And I keep telling myself, can you learn a lot from that player in those situations? Yes, you can. They're different situations, but you can. And you have to find that balance. You're right. Like Don Luce and Larry Carrier used to always say, you know, when you're a prospect, you're pretty, you're good. You're this shiny new toy. It doesn't matter if you make mistakes. You're good. You're good. Then you go to Rochester and now you're not as pretty and you got to work a little bit more. And then you get to the NHL and it's like, hey, give me something. Like, you're not a prospect anymore. So right now UPL is in that middle group, right? He's, you know, he looks good in practice and he's got the size and he's got all the abilities, but can he do it? Like, oh, he played average last night. And, oh, he gave up a bad goal. And oh, so it's still changing from the shiny toy prospect that he was to now being modeled into what he'll be later. So that's the pressure that I think you need to put on player to test them and find out.
All this goaltending talk has us thinking of the release of our next Sabres Live Overtime podcast. We'll deal with the current one that is available now. When we come back, Sabres Live, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.